This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you've had a great weekend so far. And if you're a Tigers supporter, you're not nursing too much of a sore head this morning. Whomever you're supporting the football, I hope they did you proud at the MCG yesterday. With the AFL Grand Final taking centre stage in Melbourne yesterday, racing action was at Mornington, with Group 1 racing to the fore today at Caulfield. The Spring Carnival really goes to another gear with the Underwood Stakes meeting there. Looking forward to it. Meantime, yesterday in Sydney, we had some outstanding racing with Bivouac absolutely brilliant, winning the Golden Rose for three-year-olds with a gutsy effort to defy a challenge from Yes, Yes, Yes. The question is now, will he contest the Everest? On that effort, you'd have to think, why not? On this week's edition of Talking Horses, we'll catch up with Graham Begg, who produced the first two-year-old race winner of the Victorian season, Mildred. And a living legend, quite literally, Who Shot the Barman, will star in the equestrian reality TV show Jump Off, which airs this afternoon. He's taken to jumping like a duck to water. That story coming up a bit later. But first, if you're watching racing at Rose Hill yesterday, you couldn't have missed the performance of the flashy-looking standout. The well-named colt and full brother to a Golden Slipper winner won the Hermitage Stakes. His trainer, Gerald Ryan, is our first guest.
2.5 from the back to Cosmic Force on the outside of Standout. A length and a half into Catch Me and the last two, Pandemic, who's wedged away on the rails by Accession as they turn for home. And Zedwood swings in front of Dirty Work, Bellevue Hill. Standout between them, pushed on. Cosmic Force gets going. Pandemic's right under the back of it. And Catch Me's the deepest, down to the 250. Cosmic Force says go now, moves after Dirty Work, and Standout gets the run. Standout and Cosmic Force, they beat off Pandemic. It's Standout ahead in front to Cosmic Force, and Standout goes on to win the Heritage. Standout by a long neck to Cosmic Force.
Good morning, Gerald. He looks a lovely colt, Standout, and well-named with that flashy white blaze and long white stocking at the back. He was impressive winning yesterday.
He was, Joe. He got his name from when George Alamonte saw him when he was about 10 days old as a foal, and he was a Standout foal, and that's where he got his name from. He never took him to the sales. He never offered him and retained him, yeah.
He's taken some time. You've been patient with him, and now he's unbeaten 3 from 3.
Yeah, that's right. He's a big horse. He's a big two-year-old. Knew his own strength too, and he's a little bit difficult to get going. He had a couple of trials early in the season, hoping to sort of get to some of the good two-year-old races. And then we decided to give him a break for 6 weeks, and well, the time he was coming back, he was going to be back in the middle of winter. There was nowhere to go with him, sort of thing. So we decided to give him 3 months, and he's benefited from it. He's going a big, strong, easy on the eye to look at. He's a nice horse. He's a very nice horse there.
Yeah, he's a good-looking horse, and of course a full brother to a Golden Slipper winner in the filly Overreach.
Yeah, that's right. You know, she's probably the first time Tommy got on Standout, he couldn't believe it was a full brother. He said he's about 3 times as big as what Overreach was. And even his other brother, who only had the one start, Stand Widden Outreach, he's not an overbig horse. But I think he only had the one start and ran second to Vancouver and then broke down and never raced again. But this horse, he's sound, he's never been sore. He's just, he doesn't know he's a colt. He's really quiet horse around the place.
Yeah. Out of the Snippets mare, Bar here, she was unbeaten herself and obviously has produced a Golden Slipper winner. I guess that's where the chestnut looks come from.
Yeah, Phoenix Hell can get chestnuts and I suppose Snippets. You know, when the others are the mare being bays and what he's a three-quarter brother to, Stands down in Victoria. Stephen Sellers did a mediated real forward effort. And, they're all bays, and where his chestnut comes from, I don't really know. It must be Snippets,
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. And Gerald, the colt was bred by Corrambine stud at Dunny Do in New South Wales by George Altamonte. How long have you been training for him now?
Well, only about 5 years. I've got a little horse, one couple around the bush by, he's the first one, and then got Samantha off him, and then Minari. So, I've only been training for him for about 5 years, yeah.
And he's a great breeder, isn't he? He's had some wonderful horses over the years.
He's a terrific breeder, and he takes them all to sales, and he, if he doesn't sell them and gets what he wants for them, he races himself because he enjoys racing. You see, yesterday he's just had a hip replacement done. It's the first time he's been to the races for quite a while, but I think all bar one, every horse I've had for him have won races or been stakes placed. And, you know, he took the highest price yearling last season to the Easter sales and sold him. Snick took cold, he got $2.8 million for. He's fair. He's a fair breeder, and he's fair in the way he runs things. You know, he's got to have the AH with the squiggle on the side, and it's usually a recipe to win races. You know, he does do a very good job, and he puts a lot of thought into his breeding there.
And a lot of thought, too, into the preparation of his horses, Gerald. So a standout did the early part of his education with a very good horseman in Gary Fraser, who then recommended the horse to go to you.
Yeah, well, Gary does, because Gary's brother Toby, he's at he's stud manager at Corrambine, and all the horses, someone up that way at Dunny Do breaks them in, and then they all go to Gary's, and they all got their pre-training at Gary's before they come in, and Gary said to me early in the piece, as he saw some horses that won on Thursday, he's won two out of two Bodega. He said they were both very nice horses, and he always had a big opinion of this horse as a young horse. You know?
So where to now with him? I mean, how good is he in your very astute view, Gerald?
I think he'll measure right up to the better ones in the autumn. At the moment, you know, he's had three runs his first race in preparation, and I don't like going too much further with him. If he comes out of yesterday's all right, which so far this morning looks as if he has, well, he'll probably go to the Roman Consul in a fortnight, and then he'll have a break and get ready for the autumn, yeah.
And being a bigger type of horse, is he generally pretty sound and easy to manage in that regard?
Yes, yep. Yeah, no, he's sound, he's correct, and he moves well, and he's pretty straightforward horse to deal with, and then, especially this time we've got him to settle. He used to be a hard going horse, but we've got him to settle, and he's going the right way.
And Gerald, that win of standout yesterday with the Corrambine stud colours capped off what's been a very successful week for the partnership, because you had an impressive winner at Hawkesbury on Thursday by the name of Batiga.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. He's a schnitzel out of Bonita. On pedigree, you wouldn't think. No, I think there's only one horse on the page is one. One over 1600 metres, the Western Boom, all up to 1400 metres, and he's a big, rangy horse, a different type of horse to stand out. But he looks like a horse that's going to get 1600 plus. You know, he's got a lot of time for him. He'll step up to the. He's coming out of maiden in a class one, but he'll go to the Stan Fox in a fortnight, and we'll just see where he sits. You know, I think he. Is another one that in the autumn he could be a Rosehill Guineas horse, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, Gerald, Trapeze Artist now at stud this season. A lot of wow factor about him. You must be proud to see the reaction that he's created since joining the Stallion ranks.
Yeah, he's the Stallion Parade's up there, you know. They're all rave, and I know there's people changed. Once they saw him, they changed their mares from where they were going over to him. And so far, I was reading somewhere the other day that he's on about 88% so far. So So he's going really good and magnificent looking horse. Had a great attitude, and I do believe his horse that made it right. He throw horses that all run 2,000 metres, and I think if he had to train that horse to run that, because I always had him down as a horse to run 1,600 metres easy, and I think we only had one go at it, and that was in the Randwick Guineas, and he ran third. But quite looking forward to what he can throw that horse, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about that magic moment that he shared with the connections at the Stallion Parades? Of course, Ty Angland, who rode him to so many victories. So terrible what's happened to Ty, but he's maintained so much positivity. And that moment when he was sitting in his wheelchair and the horse came up to him and bowed his head and almost raised his leg, that was quite incredible.
Oh, it's one of the best photos you ever want to see. You know, it was real touching that day, and I was standing back watching, and I thought, oh, gee, I hope he behaves himself, and because Ty was in an awkward spot, and the horse really played up to him. It was beautiful to stand there and watch it, and then when I saw the photo, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, they're incredible animals, aren't they?
They are, so yeah, they are, so, and you get a good natured one like Colt like them, well, they're easy to deal with, and they go a long way.
Yeah. I wonder, do you reckon he knew Ty and remembered him that day?
I reckon he might have, looking at that, because Ty had come to the stables a couple of times just prior to him going to stud, and he was all over him, and head over the box and all over that, and one day he got him out in the passageway, and he basically done the same thing that day. I think it was the day before he left to go to Widden, and they're really good scenes, and horses say, they forget. Horses don't forget.
No, they don't. Well, we'll let you get on with your morning out there at the track. I can hear the clip-clop of horses in the background. Nice morning there.
Yeah, beautiful morning. Beautiful morning here. It's, the weather's great. I always reckon Melbourne in March and Sydney in September, the best 2 months of the year. And, enjoy Sunday morning, stand by the walker and have a look at all of them. It's can get a bit boring, but we've got nice horses walking around. It's not too boring.
How's Standout pulled up this morning?
Seems to work quite well, actually. He's he left a little bit of feed. He's done in natural woods. He's done his previous two starts, but after that he usually comes straight back on his feet. He's a good doer. He never leaves the note, and he's always looking for more. And but he appears to have pulled up good, and his legs are terrific, so onwards and upwards, hopefully.
Yeah, okay. Well, looking forward to hopefully seeing him next start in the Roman Consul. Thanks for joining us this morning on the show, Gerald.
Okay, no worries. Thanks, Joe. Thank you.
That's Gerald Ryan. He's produced another top colt Standout, a winner in Sydney yesterday. He'll be running most likely in the Roman Consul in a couple of weeks' time, a horse to follow.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses Racing Run-Through.
The main focus of group racing yesterday was in Sydney at Rosehill Gardens with the Golden Rose meeting. The undercard was strong and it featured a very impressive win in the Heritage Stakes at listed level over 1,100 metres by Standout, a horse we discussed at the top of the show with his trainer Gerald Ryan. Standout is a full brother to the Golden Slipper winning filly Overreach, a three-year-old colt by Exceed and Excel out of a Snippets mare, Bahia. Standout is also related to winners Longreach, Marishka and Sky Limit. The Group 2 Shannon Stakes over 1,500 metres was won by Mr. Seawolf from the Chris Waller team. He's an eight-year-old gelding by Amadeus Wolf out of a Diktat mare, Rose de France. The Group 2 Golden Pendant over 1,400 metres was won by Anthony Cummings' mare, Mizzy, a four-year-old mare by Zoostar out of a Magnus mare, Missy Cummings. Mizzy was sold for $200,000 at the 2017 Inglis Australian Easter Yearling Sales. The Group 3 Colin Stephen Quality over 2,400 metres was won impressively by Stampede for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. He's a seven-year-old entire by High Chaparral out of a Tale of the Cat mare, Nothing Like a Cat. Stampede was an $80,000 purchase at the 2014 edition of the Inglis Australian Easter Yearling Sales. The Group 1 Golden Rose over 1,400 metres won so superbly, wasn't it, by Bivouac. He's a three-year-old colt by Exceed and Excel. Big day for that stallion on the track in Sydney yesterday out of a more-than-ready mare, Dazzler. Bivouac is related to winners Coruscate and Sparks. The Group 3 Gloaming Stakes over 1,800 metres. The winner was Shadow Hero, a three-year-old gelding by Piero out of a Casino Prince mare, Suki. Shadow Hero was sold for $260,000 at the 2018 Inglis Classic Yearling Sales. And that wraps up the main races from Sydney yesterday. Looking forward to the Group 1 Underwood Stakes meeting today at Caulfield.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
500 metres to run, and Yow Dash is asked to sprint quicker. Bivouac still on the bridle in second. Yes, 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 pulling out a length clear from Kubri, and Exceedance is coming off heels. It's Bivouac being joined by Yes, Yes, Yes. Yes, Yes, Yes on the outside of Bivouac. Two further back to Exceedance. It's Yes, Yes, Yes laying it down to Bivouac. Great finish. Yes, Yes, Yes. Bivouac comes back. Bivouac fights on, and Bivouac wins the Golden Rose. Another one for Godolphin. He just edged out. Yes, Yes, Yes. Then came Exceedance from Yow Dash.
Dali and Godolphin continue their dominance of the Group 1 Golden Rose. It was their sixth win in the race yesterday with Bivouac. The Exceed and Excel colt could not have been more impressive and has now earned his place at the head of the pecking order at Godolphin. Of course, his winning trainer, James Cummings, was full of praise after the race and is now considering a possible tilt at the $14 million Everest. And he still holds entries for the Coolmore Stud Stakes and the Caulfield Guineas. It will be very interesting to see which way he goes. Bivouac was, of course, a hugely impressive winner of the Group 3 Vane Stakes at Caulfield back on August 17. The son of Exceed and Excel advances now his record to 5 wins, set 2 seconds and a third from 9 starts, with career earnings of just over $1 million. A homebred for Godolphin, Bivouac is a three-quarter brother to the 4-time Group 1 winner, Guelph, out of the more-than-ready mare, Dazzler, who won her first 2 starts at Geelong and Flemington in an 11-start career. Dazzler is a half-sister to Guelph and the Group 2 ATC Todman Stakes winner, Gibbelines, out of Elusive Qualities Group 1 AJC Sires Produce Stakes winner, Camarilla, who had just 4 foals before her tragic death in October of 2012. Dazzler's first foal, Coruscate, a full brother to Bivouac, was a 4-time winner and placed in the Group 2 ATC Skyline Stakes and the Group 3 ATC Pango Pago Stakes. She has a yearling filly by Medaglia d'Oro and was covered by Lonro last spring. Bivouac becomes the 13th Group 1 winner for Exceed and Excel, who enjoyed success earlier in the day with another promising 3-year-old colt, Standout. Trainer Graham Begg, our next guest on Talking Horses this morning. Race morning ahead of the Underwood Stakes meeting at Caulfield. How's it all going at the track this morning, Graham?
Yeah, no, it's a nice morning. Been overcast, but no, it's not too bad. No rain.
Now, you combined again in those colours of course, your father Neville to win the first 2-year-old race of Victorian season. Mildred, tell us about her.
Mildred was a filly that we selected at the Classic Sale. He went down, we took him down, showed her to him, and he really liked her, and he was pretty determined to get her. I thought she'd bring too much money, actually, at the time. Like, she was pretty nice filly and very forward-going and just looked very athletic, and I thought, well, you know, she'll probably bring up around the 100,000 mark. But anyway, he was determined. He waited there all day for her, and he was able to secure her for about 45.
Okay. What was your opinion of her win during the week?
Yeah, no, she's always been very professional, and that's the way she handled it on Wednesday last. She went to the races like she'd been there before and paraded really well and went down to the gates and jumped out and did all the right things.
Yeah. And those colours, gee, we've seen them carried by some wonderful horses. The name Mildred, now there's some significance there too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mildred was the nickname for Emancipation. I had no idea he was going to call her that until I got the Rego paper, so I got a bit of a chuckle when I did see them, and very apt for her, actually.
How's she pulled up from the win on Wednesday?
Yeah, no, she's pulled through the race really well. She's just actually going to go down to Pinecliff for a few days and have a bit of R&R and a bit of a easy time for next week. But no, she's pulled up very well. Obviously, there's a few little choices we've got to make where we head to next. She's obviously eligible for the English banner, or we can, you know, possibly run her in the debutante here at Caulfield on the 12th.
Okay. Of course, the English banner is a $500,000 race run over 1,000 metres, and it's obviously open to English sales graduates only at the Valley on Cox Plate Day. Does look an enticing option with that prize money.
Certainly. Look, and the fact that she's had a run under her belt, she's had a trial and a race, so she's quite seasoned. And as I said before, she's very professional the way she goes about things, so, you know, it should stand her in good stead.
Okay. What's your early thought on her longer term as a prospect? How far do you think you might be able to go with her?
Oh, look, certainly she'll have one or two more runs and then she'll go out for the spring. I think she'll thrive once she goes out and gets a nice bit of spring weather on her. Obviously, we're going to have a very good season here in Victoria, so, and come back for the early races in the autumn for the two-year-olds.
Okay. And how are things shaping up for today's Caulfield meeting?
Yeah, now we've only got the one starter, a filly called Island Days, who she always performs very well fresh. She's in the benchmark 90, 1100 metre race for mares, and you know, she's drawn a good gate. I'm sure she'll run well.
Yeah. And any other spring prospects you're going to unearth in the coming weeks?
Oh, not really. No, we've got a couple of nice mares. Miss Siska was probably a touch disappointing on face value on Friday night. She'll be much better when she gets on the bigger tracks at you know, Caulfield and Flemington. So she'll turn that around. So we can look forward to her running her over the, you know, the next month or so.
A while ago, we spoke to you about Beauty Bolt after her impressive win on the provincial circuit. You took her to Caulfield last weekend. She finished down the track. I thought the run was okay. She didn't have the best of luck.
No, look, it was a funny day that day. She only got beaten 2.6 lengths, so look, forgive her for that. You know, maybe second up, but it was very difficult for horses to make up ground around the circle. So taking that, she hasn't run too bad. She's going to line up next week in the Edward Manifold. I'm sure she'll be better once she gets back on the big track at Flemington.
All right. Thanks for joining us on a busy morning, Graham. Good luck at Caulfield today.
Pleasure anytime.
Feature racing at Moonee Valley on Friday night, and very impressive winning the Group 2 Bill Stutt Stakes over the mile was the Trent Busserton and Natalie Young trained The Holy One. He's now booked his ticket for the Group 1 Caulfield Guineas after an all-the-way win. Natalie Young joining us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Busy times. Spring's always an exciting period of the year for the stable.
Yeah, it's great to have horses running up at this time of year, and at this level, actually, it gets you bouncing out of bed pretty early. I think I was here at 4 o'clock this morning on a Sunday, so you're pretty excited. It's great.
Yeah. Busy weekend, of course, with the Friday night meeting and into the Underwood Stakes card at Caulfield today. But, Natalie, on Friday night, the Holy One did look very impressive in winning.
Yeah. Look, we've always really liked this horse. It was actually probably this time last year that I went back and probably galloped about 40 horses, probably nearly died twice. Just, you know, before the ready-to-run start, we usually get back and test them out. And I remember galloping him on the plough and he was all legs, like it was just legs going everywhere. But sort of halfway up the plough, we kind of gave him a little squeeze and he just gave you that feel like he just had that next level sort of gear. And I thought, well, that was good enough for me. And we ended up buying him for 160, I think, at the ready-to-run sale. And we sort of had him earmarked as a Derby horse, just being out of that pinfire mare. And he just keeps stepping up and he's showing actually that he's really quite sharp.
Yeah. Did you go into the Friday night meeting with a fair degree of confidence then of success?
Yeah, we were actually quite confident. He'd worked, actually, Dylan Dunn had been and come done a gallop on him on Tuesday. And he sort of was a little bit sort of off balance coming into turn, but he did a really great sort of big bit of work late, sort of the last 200 metres. And he came in and said, oh, yeah, it was really good work. And then we just had Brendan McCarthy sort of just tweak over a sacro on the Wednesday, and I think that sort of clicked him in and just had him feeling really great. So, yeah, we always thought it was a softer option than going today in the prelude.
He's come a long way then since breaking his maiden at Echuca in July.
Yeah, he sure has. And he's actually a really late foal. Technically, he's not even 3 yet.
And he's by Tavistock. You love training the Tavistocks?
Yeah, we do. They're just really lovely horses to work with. They've got great mannerisms. You can put a little bit of pressure on them and they cop it. And look, just being, you know, Kiwi trainers, so we sort of know their families a bit. And, well, we just, you know, we've gone back to New Zealand in the last couple of years and put our hand up quite a lot. So we're just starting to get those results now that they've sort of turned into nice three-year-olds.
Yeah. And the Tavistocks are really firing for Cambridge now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Look, he's always had plenty of nice horses. Look, like Tarzino and Tavigo, sort of those early marked horses that he sort of left. But sort of had probably a little bit of a quiet year. We had plenty of winners, but they just didn't have much in the spring. So the year after Tavigo and Tarzino, I think Tarzino went to stud and Tavigo ended up tweaking a suspensory. So, but look, the last year and this year, they've really sort of come into play again. And look, we've sort of got a couple of really nice ones earmarked for the autumn. So, yeah, I just think he's just a great sire and he was a good horse himself.
Apart from generally possessing a fair degree of ability on the track, what would you say are some of the standout attributes of the Tavistocks, because you know them so well?
I think they just cop that little bit of work. They've got just really, they're good eaters and they sort of come in a few different shapes and sizes, but they've all got that ability that they just love being in that stable environment. They love work. That's what we've found with them anyway. So, yeah, they're just nice horses to work with. They cop the pressure. They don't fall apart.
Yeah. And this horse coming out of the ready-to-run sale of two-year-olds says a lot about that concept, which is growing in popularity and credibility.
Yeah, they've had a lot of stakes winners and derby winners and oaks winners come out of that sale. I think the last few years have been very strong. I think the strike rate percentage to winners is extremely high. I love going back and doing it. We'll probably head back next week for a couple of days and do the same thing again and get there in November and put our hand up with a bit more confidence. We sort of usually like to get sort of half a dozen out of there if we can. And, so hopefully we can sort of find another nice few Tavistocks and Sabbathville.
Yeah, no doubt. And, Natalie, what is the plan then with this horse, the Holy One? Is the Group 1 Caulfield Guineas the realistic option?
Yes, I think we have to go that. We just have to do it. He's a colt. He doesn't even know he's a colt, to be honest. He works every day with a filly. He just doesn't bat an eyelid. He's just got the best temperament, which is always great. You've got to have a crack. I think we have a crack, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, well, we just put him aside and worry about the autumn. But, look, he's on the right path. He's come through that race fantastically. He's eaten up everything, and he's bouncing out of his box this morning when he went for a hand walk. So, look, I think we might as well. You don't very often get the crack of the Group 1, so you've got to do it while they're in form and they're winning like that. Look, he probably would have won by another length the other day if Preble hadn't have dropped his stick at the top of the straight. So I think there's still plenty more upside with Adam at the line.
Yeah. And, Natalie, how's the rest of the spring team shaping at this point in time?
They're coming along quite nicely. We had a couple that sort of didn't quite see the trip out the other day in the Derby trial, so we're not looking too. We sort of have normally sort of four or five going in, so that could be prospect Derby horses at the moment, but that's a little bit light. But I think we're quite light on our fillies at the moment. But quite strong on our fillies. So as long as you get two or three running around carnival time, well, you sort of keeps you happy. We're only sort of relatively small stable, so keeps us happy and then bouncing out of bed.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. So outside of the Holy One, is there a name we can follow through the remainder of spring?
Well, I really like I Am Eloquent. They won the listed last week. I really like Acting Today. I think she's a really quality filly. For Waikato, she's got the ace draw today too. Tommy Berry on board. I think she's got a filly with quite a bit of upside. And, I think those two are sort of our main ones.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning, Natalie. Good luck at Caulfield today, and we'll look forward to seeing how the Holy One shapes up at Group 1 level.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jo.
That's Natalie Young joining us on Talking Horses this morning. We thank her for her time on a busy day ahead of Group 1 racing at Caulfield. The popular equestrian reality TV show Jump Off returns to the screens on Channel 7-2 this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And if you're a fan of the legendary Who Shot the Barman, you'll see him in the show. He's now at Living Legends and showing great prowess as a jumping horse. Andrew Clark from Living Legends joining us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Joe.
So, Who Shot the Barman saddling up for Jump Off? Tell us all about that.
Yeah, look, it's very exciting. You know, when he came with the reputation of enjoying some jump. He'd had a little bit of jump work, actually, before he even raced over in New Zealand. And then the message that came with him from Chris Wallace was that he loves jumping, jumps like a gazelle. So we put him. We've got a Legends Under Saddle program, and we got him started. And sure enough, he really excels at jumping. So different kettle of fish to doing the show jumping, etc. But he's just made progress, coming along in leaps and bounds. So very, very positive.
I was fortunate enough to be out on location at Living Legends on one morning when he was having some practice over the jumps for Jump Off, filming a backstory on him for the show. And he looks to really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, he enjoys it. And I think, you know, we're really looking forward to seeing the show. But I think the other outstanding thing, Joe, he's just come forward leaps and bounds in the last month or so since that filming. You know, it's a big change for a racehorse to be, you know, suddenly be doing his show jumping. And I think you'd hardly recognise him. He's just really progressed so well. So we're really looking forward to seeing that episode, but then going on to the qualifiers in Shepparton and hopefully on to the final.
Yeah, the qualifier at Shepparton is coming up on October 12, so not far away. That's really encouraging to hear that he's shown a lot of progress since we were out that day at Legends doing the filming. So condition-wise, is he looking better as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's blossomed. Like, the coat is coming away. He's put some more condition on. And he's very relaxed now. Just watched him on a coaching, and he looks like a show jumper. You know, he's really getting into his role. So I think we said at the time we were very excited to see how he progresses, and he's progressed really, really well.
What's quite incredible about this horse as an off-the-track example is that he's had a lot of racing. He's an older horse. He's had over 45 starts. He's done very well on the racetrack, obviously competed in, four Melbourne Cups. He's a Sydney Cup winner, a Moonee Valley Cup winner. He's done the miles, but he's still got so much of a spring in his step now he's involved in equestrian pursuits.
Yes, he has. Like, he's obviously a bit of an iron horse, but, you know, I think you've got to also recognise the great work Chris Waller's done with him, looking after him physically. And, you know, he came in a great mental state, if you like. You know, I think the day he arrived, we had some of the crew from VRC came out dressed up as Father Christmas. And I think within 2 hours of him being there, he was eating the green tops off carrots from Father Christmas. And then about an hour later, we had a busload of visitors, and there was a group photo taken with him. So he's come in really good condition. He's come off nice and sound from the track, and really he's been a joy to work with that way.
The young rider that's going to compete him in Jump Off is Emily King. Now, she works in your team of riders that are part of the program where you put these horses under saddle and exercise them.
Exactly. And look, Emily, it's a wonderful side story, really. We have school kids in year 10 and 11, and Emily came from Terang as a year 10 student, very proficient young horse lady. And then when she came to uni, she came to see was there any work available, and of course we grabbed straight away. So Emily's come along and she's developing her career, which is terrific. She's got her own coaching certificate, and she's just taken another one of our year 10 students under her wing. So this young Adele is now coming over riding Malaki Day, actually. So we've got the next generation. You know, it's just so wonderful to see these young people and be given the opportunity to work on some of the horses. And we've got J Jason Dinn's a wonderful dressage coach. He comes and helps. And Lindsay Bat-Rowden, she's giving some coaching with the jumping horses. So that's a whole other side to it. I think, you know, it's, we call it the learning with legends. So that side of it's really a wonderful thing for us as well, to give young people and see young people developing their careers and their ability with horses.
And it's so important for the longevity of these horses that they are exercised and kept active. They're not just paddock ornaments that people come out to see.
No, and that's, I think that is a very important part of it. And, you know, there's different levels of what the horses can and can't do. And we've got the wonderful horse walker there that we can have the controlled exercise program. So we're weighing the horses. And, you know, it's a very active retirement for these horses now. They have people coming in. We take the horses out. We have vet students and the students from NMIT, equine science students. They're now learning a lot more about conditioning and training of horses. And then for the general public, you know, we had the big open house weekend the other week, and people were coming into to visit the homestead. And the next thing we had, Who Shot the Barm? And Emily just walked in down through the garden, and people are there patting and seeing, you know, a legend off the track, but seeing the horses under saddle, seeing them working. And I think that's another important part, that the general public just don't see those sort of things. So it's just there's just advantages on so many levels from this.
Back to Who Shot the Barm and his quest to win Jump Off. I remember that day we were filming, the girls were quite confident. I mean, he shows a lot of natural ability, or he did then, but now that's being harnessed in the right way. How competitive do they now feel that he's likely to be in the show?
I think there's a, you know, you don't want to be overconfident on any situation, but he's definitely improved. We've had him out to a couple of events. Again, you know, just taking these horses out in public, like one day he's a racehorse. November last year was in the Melbourne Cup, and a couple of weeks ago we took him over to St Andrews to a pony club event, and he's wandering around with horse floats and other horses, and then over here to Woodland. So it's a whole different thing. So there's the whole extra experience of the horses going out and on the competition day. So don't want to be too overconfident, but he's certainly showing a lot of good work in the arena and over the jumps. And he's certainly very, very relaxed around the couple of events that we've had him out to. We're going to take him over to Coraline, I think it is, next weekend. And then it'll be maybe one more and then off to Shepparton. But so far, so good. I'd be, you know, maybe, if there was some early betting, Joe, I think I'd be having a little wager at good odds if it was available.
And it is important to get him used to the environments, although he's been to major race meetings all over Australia. But it's a different kettle of fish when they have to compete under saddle in this type of capacity. And at Boneo Park, if he should make the final, the atmosphere will be pretty electric. So temperament-wise, he seems to have adapted very quickly to his new life.
Yeah, very much so. As I mentioned to you the other day, we had him wander down through the homestead gardens, and we had quite a few people there for the open house Melbourne. And just getting into that sort of situation, and then over to St Andrews, and even here at his first day out at Woodlands, there was a whole lot of horses around, and he just joined in and moseyed around. But as you say, Boneo Park final night, that's going to be, you're going to get more of a flavour of the big race days and a lot of the noise, etc. And that'll be testing times for sure.
Well, he's certainly going to be a popular fixture at the qualifier on the 12th of October at Shepparton. And good luck to you all. I hope he does make it through to the final on Melbourne Cup Eve at Boneo Park.
Good on you, Joe. Thank you very, very much.
Andrew Clark joining us this morning from Living Legends to discuss Who Shot the Barman, who'll be starring in Jump Off, which airs this afternoon, the first edition of the second series, at 3 p.m. on Channel 7.2. And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks to our special guest joining us this week, Gerald Ryan, at the top of the program to discuss his exciting colt standout, the full brother to the Golden Slipper winning filly Overreach, now headed towards the Roman Consul Stakes. Also joining us this morning, Graham Begg, who trained the first Victorian two-year-old race winner of the season, Mildred. She'll be going on to a stakes race before too long. We also had Natalie Young on the program to discuss the Holy One after his Group 2 win at the Valley on Friday night. He's now headed to the Group 1 Caulfield Guineas. And, of course, Andrew Clark from Living Legends joined us to discuss who shot the barman's tilt at Jump Off Series 2. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.